Right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 3 of the Homeless series. I don't know what episode this is in total, maybe 6 or 7. But I was going to write out a bunch of notes for this episode. I had some ideas. And then I was honestly just like, you know what? I have stuff on my heart that I would just love to share without it being some planned thing. So this whole thing is just about having an honest conversation and going through life together anyways. So sometimes I'm not gonna like super plan it and just share what's on my heart with you guys and read through some of the things that the Lord's showing me. And yeah, so the original plan for this week, I had talked about kind of wholeness. I did the first week on just like, what is wholeness? Why do we need it? The second episode was wholeness in our relationship with God. And then this plan was gonna be wholeness in our relationships just as a whole, like work relationships, friendships, romantic relationships, whatever the case may be. And I think I'll tap into that a little bit, but honestly, I kind of wanted to do wholeness in your relationship with God, but a different part of your relationship with God. Last time I did wholeness in just as a whole with your relationship with God, what does it look like to be healthy as a believer? And this time I kind of just wanted to talk about the harder part of being a Christian. When you kind of start to feel alone in your walk, I get a lot of comments and a lot of questions about what do you do about loneliness and what do you do about feeling like you're the only one doing what you're doing. And so I kind of wanted to talk about two different parts of loneliness. Loneliness in areas of like, I'm the only Christian around my circle, and so it's a little bit hard, or maybe you're the only Christian in your family. And then another part of loneliness when, you know, you feel like you don't have close friends, or you feel like, or you're struggling with maybe a breakup, or you're struggling with something along those lines. And so I just kind of want to talk about the subject of loneliness a little bit, what to do when it really is just you and God, and talk about some of the things that I've gone through in the past, some of the things I'm currently going through, and really just talk with you, because this is not uncommon and we've all been there. And I know that all of us have felt these feelings before. So I just want to first start by saying that at the end of all of this, really, it is just you and God. And that can sound a little discouraging or encouraging, regardless of wherever you are. It's probably a mix of both. It is never fun to be hurt or rejected or feel outcasted or by yourself ever. But at the end of the day, even though some of you may have incredible families and great relationships and great friendships, no one is going to be able to love you like Jesus loves you. I am in a super healthy relationship right now, romantically, and no one is ever going to love me like Jesus does. And so learning that early on and then learning it through your experiences is so healthy. Because it is painful to realize that no one's going to love you like Jesus does. However, it's also very comforting to know how much Jesus does love you. And I think that the moments of loneliness that we experience really prove to us, as painful as they can be, how close God really is, at least in my experience. This past year, just going through a lot of different things, there was a lot of moments that God felt silent and distant. But in reality, he was just staying close to me and not talking so much that I felt like I couldn't share my feelings with him, but just being there and listening. And so I kind of just wanted to read through some of the parts of Hosea that I've been reading. As I read in my last episode, I read some parts of Hosea, and I'm still going through it right now. And it really, that's kind of why I just wanted to have this conversation with you guys, because Hosea is really just kind of about this, of people turning away from God and realizing how close he really is anyway. And yeah, so I just kind of wanted to share some of that with you guys. I read it a couple days ago and it really spoke to me, and some notes on Enduring Word, which is a website that I use to take notes. It's a little commentary. And I'm on Hosea, where was this? Hosea 11, I think. And the title is The Lord's Love for Israel. But the titles before this have been like Israel betraying the Lord and all of the difficult things, which I talked about a little bit in my last episode. So if you haven't heard that, just to get a little bit of a background on Hosea, I would go listen to that. Let's start in Hosea 10, verse 10. When I please, I will discipline them, and nations shall be gathered against them when they are bound up for their double iniquity. So let me start with just the first part of that verse. When I please, I will discipline them, which sounds not fun, but the note was God in his wonderful kindness will still chasten, lead, guide, and direct Israel, though they kick against him. And what does this have to do with loneliness? There will be moments in the struggles that you have with loneliness or feeling rejected or all of those things where you're like, God's left me, da 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 da. And those are valid feelings. However, keep in mind that he is still leading, guiding, and being so present, though you throw all of these accusations at him. There have been so many times that I was like, God, you've left me and you don't care about me. And yet looking back, I can see his hand gently on me the entire time. And not for a single moment did he leave, though I threw these terrible accusations at him of you've left and you're not there for me and whatever, whatever else. And so I just want to take that moment to remind you that as a first point, that though you throw these accusations at God, I've said this many times, he is not afraid of your doubts or your questions, but he's not going to leave you. And so those moments of loneliness and those moments and those feelings of feeling rejected or left behind, he hasn't left you. And I know that that's such a cliche Christian thing to say. I know, I'm aware. However, it's taken me till now to know, and I've been a believer my entire life. And so take it from someone who has felt the pangs of loneliness, not because I don't have people rooting for me. I have people all over rooting for me. You know, I have a great relationship. I have sweet family members. I have great friends. However, there are still moments where I feel that pang of loneliness or feeling, you know, certain feelings that are uncomfortable, and knowing that though I accuse God of leaving me and, you know, all these other things, he has not left me for a single second. And looking back, I can see how gently present he really was in my life. And so I just wanted to encourage you in that, that, though that verse may seem scary that I just read, he hasn't left. And the fact that we get to be guided and directed by a king is so undeserved. And so just keep that in mind, that he has not left. And sometimes his silence is just him sitting with you and being with you. And so, I don't know, I didn't plan on saying that. So as I was gonna start in chapter 11, but I just wanted you guys to hear that as well. And then the other thing I wanted to read, and this is kind of where I'm gonna spend most of my time. If you've read Hosea before, and I do encourage you to read it, it is a little bit hard to read at some parts, but Israel basically is, and I talked about this some in the last episode as well, that Israel is pretty much cheating on God. That's the premise of Hosea. And yeah, God's a little hurt. I would be as well. And he basically is just declaring how sad he is, that he's been forgotten or rejected by Israel, and how, you know, he'll have justice on Israel. And then you get to chapter 11, the Lord's love for Israel. And it says, in the very beginning, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt, I called my son. And then the note was, God has never forgotten his love for Israel, though they come against him and all of these other things. God has never forgotten his love for Israel. And then it says in verse 4, I led them with cords of kindness, with bands of love. And then I wrote, God wins us over with gentle love, cords of kindness, bands of love. And then this was kind of the part that I wanted to stay on for a while, is verse 8 and 9. I'm going to skip over some words because I can't pronounce them, but I'm just going to kind of read the part that spoke to me. But how can I give you up? How can I hand you over? And then it says, how can I make you like Adma, which is an enemy? How can I treat you like Zeboim? I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it, but how can I treat you like an enemy? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. And I wrote, we are in sin and guilty before God, yet he says, how can I give you up? And then this part is from Enduring Word. Justice demands that he do this, yet in his heart he must find a way of salvation. In this, God sends Jesus Christ, and on the cross, Jesus was given up in my place. I cried so much when I read that. There's so much I want to say. If you've ever felt alone, that is the verse to read, because the Lord looks for reasons to stay faithful to you rather than looking for reasons why you don't deserve for him to stay. Because I can promise you there's more reasons for him to leave. Because we are so unworthy of that love. But he looks for and remembers his love for you, like he remembers his love for Israel, and finds a reason to stay faithful. And there's a verse in 2 Timothy. Let me see if I can find it, because I think of this verse often, and I never know exactly where it is. 2 Timothy 13, or 12 and 13, let's start there. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Scary. But wait. Verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And I remember meditating on that scripture a lot on a mission trip. I think that I was reading 2 Timothy or something. And I read that over and over and over again. I was like, what does that mean? For he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny himself. Basically what he's saying is because he is faithfulness, he can't leave you. He's not just sitting there looking for reasons to stay, but he can't not stay because you are his child and he cannot leave you. And this is something I think about often is, like, you meet someone that's super kind, right? Or even here's a better example. Your parents, when you're a child, they are perfect and you're heroes. But then when you get older, you start to realize their flaws and the things that are wrong with them and the mistakes that they've made and all of those things. And while your mom may be kind and tender and nurturing, she can also be, you know, agitated easily or rude at times, just like we all can be, or something along those lines. But with God, he isn't just, you know, he doesn't just have the characteristic of kindness or have the characteristic of tenderness and gentleness or have the characteristic of love. He is those things. So just like I can't not be Sophia, he can't not be faithful. He can't not be kind. He can't not be love. He is, I know those were double negatives, I'm sorry, bear with me. I'm trying my best to articulate this big thought, but he can't not be those things. He will always love and will always be faithful, not as a characteristic of acting faithful, but he is faithful. So when it says in that verse, when we are faithless, he will be faithful because he cannot deny himself. And what is hard to digest and realize is that we are constantly faithless, but he remains faithful nevertheless. And so what does this have to do with the subject of loneliness and the title of this episode? Everything, because there was no reason for Jesus to come for me, but he did. And that note that says, or the verse that says, I will not give you up. God sent Jesus to be given up in my place. And I remember reading that and just like even the wording matching up was just so beautiful. He is consistently present. And so those moments, and why I say loneliness can be beautiful, it's not fun. Beauty doesn't necessarily mean happiness. They're not fun feelings when hard things happen. And trust me, I've had many recently and throughout life, and so have all of us. Those moments of loneliness where it really is just you and Jesus, or you're hurt by someone or something that happened, getting to the bottom of, wow, it really is just me and God, is a special thing. Because just like in Hosea, it says he betroths himself to us. He loves us like a husband would love his bride, but more so on a much larger scale. Marriage is just probably a 2% example of the love that he has for us. But none of this takes away the pang of rejection or loneliness or things that are difficult, but it does teach us the care and tenderness and gentleness of having God sit with us and be our husband in moments of feeling so alone. And so I don't know why I felt like I needed to talk about this, but I just wanted to encourage you that regardless of whatever you're going through, whether it be hurt by the church or hurt by friendships or hurt by romantic relationships or things at work or family issues where you feel really alone, there is someone that calls you his own and legitimately defended you with his life, though you were the reason he had to give his life. And so, yeah, so I just kind of wanted to touch on that. And I really felt that on my heart to share. And so hopefully that is something that you needed and I needed and we all need. And so I'll go back and listen to it for myself and listen to what the Lord has to say to me too. And so, yeah. But another thing that I kind of wanted to touch on is boundaries. And that kind of plays on the other part of loneliness that I was going to refer to, is like maybe you're the only person in your friend group that's a Christian, or you're the only one, you know, not doing certain things. And this kind of speaks to a younger audience as well, because, well, I guess not all of us go through things like this. So let's talk about boundaries, the wholeness of boundaries. This is just going to take a second because I think it does need to be addressed. Boundaries is a difficult subject and I am no expert at all, but having boundaries in friendships and in work relationships and even serving and all of those things is super, super healthy. And while I'm no expert, I would advise you, and well, since I'm not an expert, I'm going to not give a ton of points on this, but I've had to learn boundaries the last year. And while it may feel lonely to have certain boundaries, like let's say that your friends are all going out and doing something. This is just a basic example, doing something that you don't want to do. Your boundary with the Lord needs to be, okay, I know I'm not supposed to do that, so I'm not going to. And so that's just an example of a boundary that could cause loneliness. And so I just encourage you to refer back to the beginning of this episode where there are those moments of loneliness, even if it's something small like that, the Lord still is present and he will still honor you honoring those boundaries that he has for you or the convictions that he has for you. So this is the separate part of loneliness. Maybe it's not rejection, maybe it's not a family issue, but maybe it's a choice that you're making to not be a part of things. Loneliness can still find you there. Fear of missing out can still find you there. However, all of the things from the beginning part of this episode still apply to those situations of him being so present and so caring and so tender in those moments. And so I just wanted to encourage you, if there's things going on where you have to set boundaries, maybe in, you know, your personal life that kind of exclude you from other things, I just wanted to encourage you that that's healthy and that's good. And maybe I can do a separate, I don't think it necessarily fits into what I'm trying to elaborate today, but maybe I can do a separate thing later on just about boundaries and how to have a healthy work life, a healthy friendship, have healthy friendships, have healthy relationships and all that stuff. But I just really felt like I needed to talk about loneliness, and I felt like it applied to this series well. And so, yeah, so anyway, those were just the things on my heart and on my mind, and I just wanted to let you know that you are so not alone in the things that you're feeling and the things that you're facing. And another thing that I kind of wanted to say also is I used to be really afraid of being alone, not like alone in a general sense, but alone, like just like in my room by myself doing things by myself. Just because I was so afraid of like the things that I would start thinking about or the things I was going through, just like I wanted people around me. And while that's super healthy to be around people, it's also not healthy to be afraid to be by yourself. And so those moments of feeling of being alone, I know that a lot of people have asked me this question too, is like, how can you be comfortable being alone? Like, you know, I'm struggling with all of these things. And I just want to encourage you that it took a long time, but now I love my alone time because that's my sweetest time with God. And being alone doesn't have to feel lonely, and it will at first, but this is kind of tying into why I titled this, Why Loneliness Can Be Beautiful. It's because in those moments of alone time with the Lord, while they may feel lonely at first, it's going to turn into your most sweet times with God. And so I just wanted to encourage you, I guess this needed to be said, whether it was for me or for all of you, that you aren't alone, but when you do feel alone, you haven't been left alone. And there is a king that fights for you and defends you, and regardless of what you're going through, he knows exactly what's happening, and he wants to tap into those situations, but more than that, he just wants to love you and encourage you on a personal level. And so those moments of being alone or feeling lonely, he's not afraid of those feelings, but also wants to teach you how sweet those moments can be and how beautiful they really can be. And that when it comes down to it, whether we have people that are super encouraging and great families or whatever, whether or not we have that, he is still the primary lover of our soul. And when it comes down to it, really is being loved by him is the sweetest thing we're ever going to experience. And so regardless of if you have this great encouragement backing you up or you don't have that at all, we are all on a level playing field of God is fighting for us, and he is the number one match and lover of our soul. And he's going to be the one that loves us better than any other human being ever could. And so I just wanted to encourage you guys in that area, because I know I need that reminder as well. And so I guess no notes or no organized thing today, but just wanted to kind of share that with you because I know that I need these reminders as well. And I know that we all go through similar things like this. And so, yeah, so just wanted to encourage you guys, and I love you so much. And I am trying to decide what I want the next series to be about. So if you have ideas, please let me know on Instagram. And yeah, I love you so much, and I'll talk with you soon.